So, folks, I want to introduce to you our guest speaker this morning. And if you weren't here last when I mentioned him, I'll just remind you again that you all thought I was young to be your lead pastor. Well, we confirmed it last night. Zach is officially 14 years younger than me. I know I hold my age well. But Zach and Alandra are not from the East Coast. In fact, they're from almost all the way to the West Coast. And they attended Vanguard College and pursued God's call on their life there. And then they came here to Nova Scotia, where Zach was the associate at Cornerstone Assembly in Bible Hill. He spoke at Camp Evangeline this past summer, and a number of you really enjoyed his speaking. And of course, I had met him at conference, so I said, well, let's have him in and celebrate Christmas with him. And so he's now the lead pastor, and we are blessed to have him here. So Zach, give him a welcome, Evangel, and Zach, come on up and share what the Lord has put on your heart.
Thanks, Nathan. Well, good morning, church. How you guys doing this morning? All right, well, can you do something for me real quick? Can you just roll your shoulders back? Just roll your shoulders back. All right, and just reach out and touch a neighbor next to you and say, just bless him in the name of Jesus. Would you do that real quick? Just bless him. Say, hey, bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. Awesome. Well, hey, guys, it's awesome to be with you guys here this morning all the way down in Yarmouth. It's fantastic. Now, as Pastor Nathan mentioned, is right, I am from out west. As a matter of fact, I'm from Edmonton. I was born and raised in the area, born in B.C., moved to Edmonton when I was a child and raised in the area there. And so I am relatively new to the Maritimes, and this is actually my very first time in Yarmouth, and I'm stoked. It's great so far. Guys are great down here. This is fantastic. So I'm really enjoying myself, and I'm honored to be able to share with you guys the word this morning. So, would you stand with me for a moment? I just want to pray for our message, and I just want to pray for just God's Spirit just to be here among us this morning. So would you just agree with me in prayer as we look to the Word of God here today? Lord, we just thank you so much for what you're doing. Thank you, God, for who you are and what you're doing in our midst. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this church, this community doing here in Yarmouth. God, thank you, Father, that you desire to be among us this morning and to speak to us here today. Lord, we just ask that you give us open hearts and open ears to receive what your Spirit is saying to your church. That we might be receptive, God, that we might be good soil, Father, for what you want to plant in our hearts this morning, Jesus. God, I just admit that none of this has anything to do with me and everything to do with you, Jesus. And we just invite you now to come and to use this for your honor and your glory. We just invite you, God, just to take the place of honor in our gathering this morning. Let everything that we're doing, God, our conversation, Lord, our speaking, our worship, let all of it point to you, Jesus. That's all we're doing here today. God, we need you. Would you give us your Holy Spirit now? Would you speak to us? In Jesus' name. If you agree with me, we say amen. Amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Well, I've been praying for Christmas lately, as I know you guys are too. And as I've been doing so, I've been struck by something recently. I've been listening to podcasts, I've been listening to sermons, been reading articles, and been studying scripture. And I've been struck by something very interesting. I've been struck by the surprising and unexpected nature of the Christmas story. I mean, the way that God would choose to restore life to a broken and messed up people is just astonishing. It's just awe-inspiring. It's just altogether unexpected. And it's certainly not the way we might have expected the God of all creation to come and enter into our world, right? As a baby in a manger. I mean, when we're looking at the Christmas story, I mean, just look at Mary, for instance. Here's this teenage girl in the middle of nowhere, Israel, Nazareth. You know, they actually had a saying back at this time, is that there's a saying they had about Nazareth, this backwater neck of the woods. You actually read about it in John chapter 1. The disciples are going around, and one of these guys is walking around, and he comes and he sees Jesus. And he says, hey, he goes back to his brother Nathanael, says, Nathanael, we found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. And he turns to him, and he uses the saying. He says, Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's just this idea that, like, it's just the middle of nowhere. That middle of nowhere town, the Messiah's not going to come from there. I mean, he's a king. This is the king of the world. You know, he's coming from a strong and powerful lineage. This is the son of David, the iron scepter from the line of Judah. I mean, people had certain expectations about who the Messiah was supposed to be and what he's supposed to look like and what he's supposed to do and how that's supposed to play out for them. But instead, we're introduced to this no-name teenager in the middle of nowhere Israel, Nazareth, to be the mother of the Son of God. I mean, if you could have put money on the place that Jesus would be born, I mean, now in retrospect, we see it. We look back through Scripture, we see it. But if you're just stuck with your Old Testament, like the Pharisees were at that time, they're reading through that, would you have put money on Bethlehem, on a barn in the middle of nowhere? I mean, really. I mean, here I'm reading through my Old Testament. I read about a powerful king who's going to come. He's going to overthrow evil forever. He's going to rule and reign on David's throne. He's going to restore God's good world back to where it needs to be. Would you have expected him to be born in a barn? Would you? No, of course not, right? I mean, when I look at the Old Testament and I'm reading through the prophets, I see how they describe the Messiah. You know, this guy, he's this great king. He's going to come and he's going to overthrow the world power. He's going to come, he's going to wreck the Romans, right? He's going to come through and he's going to restore this world by force and overthrow it with a revolutionary transformation. That's what people were expecting. This triumphant king who'd reestablish Israel to its rightful place. And a king as powerful and as mighty as this, he deserves a birth story, as significant as he is. But instead we're introduced to this teenage girl in Nazareth, Hicktown, middle of nowhere Israel, and instead of there being this triumphant story, we're introduced to this common people in a barn. You know, the Messiah is not born to a royal family in a great palace. He's born to commoners in a dirty manger. And this boy would go on to live a normal life, Jesus. And he would, you know, work as a tradesman, building tables and chairs and working with his hands. And he would grow up. And this is the Jesus we read about in the Gospels. I mean, you see him at age 12. He's a little odd, maybe, in the temple, doing some strange things. But he's just a kid. And he would go on to be enthroned as the Messiah, you know, and to take his rightful place as king of the world by being beaten to a pulp, mocked and scourged, and hung on a tree until he suffocates in his own blood. This is our conquering king. This is our Messiah. And this was his enthronement. It was altogether unexpected. I think one of the reasons the Pharisees and the religious leaders had such a hard time accepting Jesus is he was just so ordinary. Just like the rest of them. He had no majesty that we should admire him, no beauty that we should desire him. And as much as he was fully God, he was fully human. I think that messed with people, right? I think that would have messed with them a little bit. I mean, this is not the way this is supposed to go. This is not the way you're supposed to act, Jesus. I mean, this is not the way we expected the Messiah to come. I mean, you're ordinary. You're normal. You're average, just like me, and God can't use me. As I read through the accounts of Jesus' life, though, and especially as I land on his birth story, I'm stopped by just this strange and unexpected nature of the story as we read it in Luke's Gospels. I mean, have you ever wondered, why is that story included in our Bibles? You ever wondered that? I started to think about that a while ago, because clearly John and Mark didn't feel it was important to include it in their Bibles, but for some reason, Matthew and Luke thought it was important to write down. I mean, clearly they didn't think it was that big of a detail to overlook. I mean, is this just a fun piece of history? Is this just an anecdotal story? I mean, I don't think so. You know, I think there's something going on here that is important for us to understand. I think there's a point, especially, that Luke is trying to make here. He's not telling us about Jesus' birth account for some fun historical narrative, you know, for us to sing songs and to do plays. No. But rather to show us something about the unexpected ways that God brings hope to the world. I think that's what this is about. And the point that the authors of the New Testament are trying to make with this unexpected story, with this unconventional narrative, with this unorthodox entry of God into humanity, is that God uses unexpected people in unexpected places to bring his message of hope to life in the lives that need it most. And if you came here today with just certain expectations set in your mind about maybe what God can or cannot do in your life, what God can or cannot do in your family, what God can or cannot do in your marriage and in your home and in your workplace, I'm here to tell you today that God uses unexpected people to do unexpected things. And maybe you're here today and you've got certain things that you expect out of life. And you got certain things you expect even out of your family this Christmas. And maybe you've even got certain expectations of what you expect of yourself. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God uses the normal, God uses the ordinary, and God uses the mediocre. God uses just the messengers, these people. God uses unexpected messengers to bring his message of hope to life in the lives of those who need it most. And I believe that God has sent me here today to tell you something unexpected in your life. That God wants to do something unexpected in your life this Christmas to bring hope to your family situation, to bring hope to a dying marriage, to bring life and joy to your town through this church. And he's going to use the most unexpected messengers you could possibly think about to do it, because God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And this Christmas, I believe God's going to use you. And the reason why I say this is because I see this truth played out in Scripture. I see this truth played out in the lives of some ordinary tradesmen, everyday laborers and farmers, people you'd expect nothing from, the most unexpected messengers imaginable of God's good news to a lost and dying world. So if you've got your Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. Would you grab those and open them up here today? As we're doing that, we're going to be camping out in this passage as we turn to see how God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. So would you turn to your neighbor real quick and say, "That was unexpected." All right, turn to your other neighbor and like, say it like you mean it. "Now that was unexpected." All right, cool. Well, Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be camping out here this morning. And we're not going to read the whole narrative as we kind of go through it here. But I'm just going to focus on a few details in the story this morning. I want to focus in on something very specific that I believe is particularly relevant to you and I. But let's do a quick summary of what we're talking about here today. You know, we're introduced with this story. Jesus' birth story begins with this teenage girl, Mary, in a small town in the middle of nowhere, Israel. We talked about that. One day, she's going about her business. And just an angel shows up, boo, out of the blue, just like that. And says to her, "Hey, look, you're going to become pregnant with the Son of God. Even though you've never been with a man before, that's okay. That's all right. Don't worry. I'll work it out." And the same angel goes off, and we read in Matthew's account that he warns, Joseph in a dream, "Stick with her, man. Don't take off, okay? Look, I know this is scary. I know you want to bolt. Stick with her. Be a faithful man to your wife, okay? Do this." He says, "Okay, sounds good." So then he leaves, and now we've got this teenage girl out of wedlock, pregnant, and she's scared for her life, because at this time you can get stoned to death, like not the stone, but stoned to death. Sorry. Then to complicate everything, when this girl, she's 9 months pregnant, goes off with her cousin Elizabeth, and she's 9 months pregnant. The governor of the land decides to hold a census. So everybody's gotta pick up and move. And so she has to go 90 miles on foot with her husband to his hometown. That's from Truro to Halifax. That's a long ways on foot making that journey, right? And you're walking this whole way, and they come up late into this overcrowded town with no place for them at night. I mean, this is just not going great so far, right? I mean, just as they arrive into town, they settle down to a dirty old barn behind an inn. Mary goes into labor. I mean, there's no family around, no midwives, no doctors, certainly no epidural, none of that stuff. And so this is just an ordinary girl giving birth in the most unexpected place, a barn, just dirty. And she gives birth to a healthy little baby boy, and they name him Jesus, just like the angel told them. I mean, this is quite the impressive story so far, right? Quite the story. I mean, if Luke is just interested in telling us a historical account, he could have just stopped right there. I mean, that's enough. That's what Matthew does. Doesn't go on from that point. That's enough. But he doesn't. He's trying to make a point about how God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And so the story carries on. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. New Living Translation. Check this out. "That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep." All right, stop right there. Now, I don't know about you guys. I grew up in a city. I haven't really been around sheep very much in my life. Have you been around sheep very much in your life? Who here knows a shepherd? Anybody? Hey, you do. Two of them. Wow, that's great. That's more than I thought. Fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I don't know any shepherds, though. For the majority, we're not hanging around these people. It's kind of not a trade we have here. But, you know, at this time in this place, shepherds are common. They're everywhere. You know, they're just like tradespeople today. How many tradesmen do we have in the room this morning? You do a trade, electricians, carpentry. Yeah, come on. Okay, that's a good number of you guys over here. Fantastic. Yeah, you know, like electricians, carpenters, plumbers, shepherds. Like right up there with the rest of them. These guys, they're everywhere. They're hardworking average Joes. Nothing fancy, you know? They're out there to make a living. They're out there raising sheep for their wool. And if they're special, maybe they get to raise these sheep for sacrifice in the temples. Like, that may be a big deal. But there's a key difference between tradesmen today and shepherds back then. Today, if you're a tradesman, it's a respected, it's an honorable job. Like, you gotta work hard for that. You gotta get your red seal. You gotta go through years of schooling. You gotta get your apprenticeship. Like, that's a good thing, you know? And we respect when men and women go ahead and do that. But that day, shepherds, nobody respected shepherds. Because nobody expected anything significant from shepherds at this time. In fact, shepherding was kind of seen as a bit of a lazy job. For a couple reasons, actually. I mean, let's just think about this for a second. Have you ever seen sheep? Do they do very much? Right? They just kind of stand there and eat all day. That's just for the most part. And they're pretty stupid, too. They're not very smart animals. So, you know, I mean, this was kind of perceived as a not very difficult job. People thought shepherds would just kind of sit there all day, just doing the minimum amount of work to get by, right? And in addition to this, they kind of had this interesting guaranteed income. That'd be nice, right? Because, okay, you see, think about this old Jewish religious system. When people sinned, when people messed up, when they made decisions that hurt God and other people, they had to bring a payment to cover the damage that they had caused by that decision and by that choice. And so often they'd bring an animal to do that. And what they do is they bring this animal forward and it would die in their place in this really visceral way to show just how drastic that damage had been in the relationship with God and other people. So this animal would die on this altar as a sacrifice and a substitute. It's going to die in my place so that I don't have to. And then this thing's going to sit there, and God looks down on that. He looks down on our sin and our mess-ups. He doesn't see our sin and our mess-ups anymore. Instead, he sees that sacrifice covering that. And he sees how that drastic damage has been covered by that. And I mean, it's costly, and it had to be costly, because that's how drastic our choices and our decisions are and our damages of our relationship with God and other people. And because of that, these animal sacrifices became very common in Israel. Everywhere you go, people are doing animal sacrifices because it allowed people to stay in right relationship with God and right relationship with others. But not everyone's got farm animals lying around. How many people here got a farm animal at home? Just checking. Show of hands. All right, nobody here. That's great to know. So here's what you can do, all right? If you don't have a farm animal and you're in the Jewish system of religion, you can go out and you can buy one at the temple. Or you can buy one from people like the shepherds. So these shepherds then, they got guaranteed income. You could purchase a lamb because, hey, man, you messed up. Hey, I got something for you, man. Come over here. If you want to stay in a right relationship with God, you barely have to work for it. These shepherds have got money coming in. So first of all, lazy. Secondly, guaranteed income. But when they did work, getting pretty dirty and gross. I mean, you're out in the fields with animals. There's no running water. There's no city amenities. I mean, these guys would have stunk. Seriously, right? You're out in the field working away. And because of their extensive purification rituals, needing to get clean before entering God's presence, the shepherds were not allowed into the temple. They're not going in there. Because they're dirty and they're outsiders, they're in the fields. And so what we're left with is this lazy, entitled group of dirty social outcasts. A despised class of people rejected from all respectable society. People had zero expectations of shepherds. They thought nothing good of them. Nobody thinks anything much of these guys. And this is just, I'm just harping on this point for a moment. Like, why is this guy talking about shepherds so much? I'm harping on this point for a moment. Because this is really important for us to understand. We don't think of tradesmen this way today, because they're not like that. But when we read this story in Luke, we think about, oh, you know, some shepherds in a field. Nice, that's cool. That's some farmers. That's great. But a first century Christian, they'd read this and be shocked. What? Shepherds? Those losers? I mean, why are they in this story? I mean, for the birth of the Messiah, I would have expected something different. I would have expected someone noble. I would have expected somebody significant. But Luke is trying to show us something, that through the shepherds in a field, that God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And if God can use these guys, then maybe he can use you. So right after the birth of the Messiah, Luke takes us out into the countryside to show us these lowbrow, average Joe, nobody shepherds, the people you would least expect to show up in the Messiah's birth narrative. In verse chapter 8, the Messiah's story continues. We read on. You know, that night, shepherds staying in this field nearby, and angels were guarding their sheep, and then suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears to them. I mean, to these guys. I mean, this is something shocking. We should be shocked at this. This is like, whoa, hold on a moment. Why are angels, messengers of the Lord, showing up to these social outcasts, to these guys, to the average Joes, to the nobodies that nobody thought anything about, who hold no position in society? To them the angel comes. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appears to them, and the radiance of God's glory surrounded them, and they were, say that last word with me, terrified. Well, of course they're terrified. I mean, you're sitting in a field quietly at night, and then boom, there's this bright, huge man standing in front of you, lighting up the sun, you know, and there's just this, it's in the dark, and then out of the blue, there's this guy saying, I mean, how would you respond, right? I mean, you're lying in your bedroom at night, you're getting ready for bed, you're having a cup of tea, you're reading a book, and boom, angel in the bedroom. Like, that'd be terrifying, right? And this guy's just suddenly there, and you're freaking out. But, verse 10 and 11, but the angel's reassured them, because this is what they do. Every time angels show up, people freak out, and they say the same thing. Don't be afraid, he said, because I bring you good news that will be great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, he's been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is awesome. And I'm coming to tell you guys first. I'm coming to tell you shepherds first, so that you can be the first to go see him. So that you can be the first to know the truth, because the message comes to and through unexpected people like you. And here's how you're going to recognize that what I'm saying is true. Verse 12, check it out. You're going to recognize him by this sign. You're going to recognize them by seeing this baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. The most unexpected thing you could think about. Because listen, Jesus has been born. Just a few miles away from here. And this is the one we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. This is the King. This is the Lord. But he hasn't come like you expected. He has not come in a palace or in a cradle even. You're not going to find them wrapped in silk and lying on pillows. No, you're going to find them wrapped in rags and lying in an animal's feed trough. Because this king has not come like we might have expected. And he's not come to high and powerful, smart people. No, he comes with a message of hope to everyday, average people like you. And that's why I'm telling you guys, the shepherds. I mean, a first century Jewish person would read this and just be flabbergasted. I mean, why these guys? Why them of all people? I mean, you know, why not the powerful Pharisees? I mean, why not the qualified? Why not the rich and the influential and the skilled? Why bring this message to shepherds? And I think it's because Luke is trying to show us that God uses the unexpected. God uses the overlooked. God uses the mundane, the ordinary, and the average to make this message known to those who need it most. And if you think that God can't use you, and you think that you're too small, if you think you're here today and your voice doesn't matter, I'm here to tell you today that God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And Jesus has come today to use you. Here in Yarmouth. Here in this church. Am I the only one here today? Amen. Amen. Thank you. This is what the story is all about. This is the most unexpected birth, in the most unexpected place, to the most unexpected people, that God might bring unexpected hope to those who need it most. I mean, this is staggering. You know, that because of Jesus' entry into the world, no matter what others might say about you, no matter your social standing, no matter your education, no matter your background, no matter what laundry list of sins you can bring forward to me today, saying, Zach, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the stuff that's gone through my life. I'm disqualified. Nobody would expect anything at all from me. God brings this message of hope to you so that he might use this unexpected nobody to become a messenger of hope and life to a dark and dying world, to your family, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, to your workplace. I'm looking at a room this morning of unexpected messengers. Nobody expected God would use shepherds, and nobody expects that God would use you. But he does. Isn't that good news? Because God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected, and Jesus has come to use you. This is good news. I mean, the angels get this, though. They get this. They're not surprised by this. The shepherds, they're freaking out. They're surprised. But the angels, they're getting this. You're welcomed. You're accepted. You're significant. You're useful. God can use you no matter where you've been, no matter what you've been doing. And the angels in heaven, they come and they rejoice along at this announcement of this good news. Check it out. Verse 13. Suddenly, this angel's not alone. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others. The armies of heaven praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest of heavens and peace on earth with those whom he is pleased. This is good news. And then as quickly as they came, they're gone. The shepherds, I mean, they're outcasts. The lowly, the nobodies in society, they're the lowest rank of important people this message should go to. They're the first ones to receive the news of Jesus' birth. You know, he's the king of the entire world. And when kings are born, the announcement's made in a royal palace to rich and important people. This goes to those who need to know it. Let's take it to the prime minister. Let's take it to the government's office. Let's take it so the word can spread to those who are most important, who have the most influence. They're the ones that need to know. But no. Jesus comes under incredibly humble circumstances, and the announcement is made to normal people, unexpected people. And the announcement is that God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected, and that God is going to use you to make his message known. I mean, in both its delivery and its content, the angels are saying, look, Jesus has come, and he's resetting the social order, totally flipping it upside down. You're now on equal ground with those who are high and religious. You got to act a certain way. You got to be a certain way. You got to go to Bible college before you can talk to other people about Jesus. You got to be a Christian for 20 years before you can talk to people about Jesus. No. From the moment you're saved, man, I got this lady in my church. She's just come to know Jesus in the last, 6 months. Actually, it's probably a little bit longer than that now. And she won't shut up about Jesus. It's awesome. Everywhere she goes, she doesn't know anything about Jesus. She's reading her Bible and says, whoa, did you know that Jesus walked on water? I'm like, yeah, man. It's like Sunday school lessons. But she's like, this is fantastic. You got to know the Jesus that I've met. You got to know the Jesus that's given me hope. And she's got no qualifications to do this. She's the most unexpected person you'd imagine to come and bring a message of hope to her family that has no idea who Jesus is. Yet here she is, talking about how good God is in her life and what he's done for her. You know, behold, I bring you good news of great joy. It's going to be for which people? All the people. This message is not just for the best and brightest. No. When Jesus comes, you are an equal in his kingdom. This is a really interesting passage. 2 Peter. Who's got your Bibles here this morning? Open them up. 2 Peter. Let's go there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Right at the very beginning. Now Peter, this is one of Jesus' disciples, right? This is walking on water, preached the sermon that saved 5,000 people, Peter. This is that Peter. This is that guy that, man, he's been with Jesus through the rough and through the thick. This is the guy that denied Jesus, that was restored by Jesus, that said, I'm going to build my church on you, Peter. This is that Peter. If he was standing here today, let's just take a moment. If we had Peter just, boom, time transportation, standing here right today, how many of y'all would think, yeah, man, I'm just buddies with Peter. We could be hanging out together, go for coffee at McDonald's afterwards, right? No, probably not. Standing here today, we think this guy is not on equal ground with us. This guy's on a whole nother standing, but check this out. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, he's writing to the church. To those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness and grace of God through Jesus. Hold on a second, Peter. Are you saying I'm on equal standing with you? Yeah. As a matter of fact, you are. Well, hold on, Peter. I thought you were an apostle of Jesus Christ. You're one of the few that gets to be the one that I get to build. He's going to build his church on. He's like, no, man, you're one of us. You're the same as me. This is Peter. This is the guy that's like, nobody would think I'm on equal ground with Peter. And yet he comes and he writes to everyday average Joes in the church and says, no, man, you are on equal ground with me. You're the same. You're an equal in my kingdom. You're the most unexpected messenger you could possibly imagine. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth on his people. Jump back to Luke chapter 2. There's a short little verse right in the middle of the announcement that's really important, and we're going to miss it if we're going too quickly. Check it out. Verse 10 of chapter 2. The angel says to the shepherds, look, guys, don't be afraid, he says, because I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. It's just awesome. I mean, just harping on the point that the angels didn't come to a king or a lord or a priest like we might have expected. He came to shepherds. He comes to average people like you so that you can go to average people like your coworkers and your family members, the most unexpected messenger to the most unexpected people to bring unexpected joy to everyone. This is what happens when Jesus enters into your story and when Jesus enters into mine. I mean, when Jesus enters this world, he doesn't go to powerful, important people who've earned it or deserve it, but he goes instead to average people like you and me. I mean, I'm 24 years old. Who am I? A pastor at a church? Who would have ever thought that? I'm nothing great. I'm not that smart. I'm not that skilled. I'm not that talented. Yet Jesus has somehow chosen me to do this, and he's choosing you to do the same. He takes shepherds, and he makes them messengers, and God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. I mean, angels fill the sky, a whole host of them, and they proclaim, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth with all and peace, and then they're gone. And these shepherds, they're sitting there. And their hearts are beating, they're racing, their adrenaline's pumping, they're looking at one another, they're thinking, did you see what I see? In Luke chapter 2, 15, shepherds get up, they're looking at one another, and they're like, whoa, guys, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing which the Lord has chosen to tell us about. Of all people, God chose to come and tell us. So let's just go see if it's true. Let's go see if we truly are on equal standing with the rich and the powerful, the educated, the smart, with the pastors, the prophets, the shepherds. And they run off into Bethlehem, and the angels told them they're looking for a baby in a barn. Baby in a barn, baby in a barn. So they're running around looking at different barns, and they're knocking on doors. Hey, is there any babies here? No, why is there babies in a barn? That's weird. You wouldn't expect that. And then one of them runs around, and he turns a corner, and there, he sees it. There they are. It's Mary and Joseph and this baby lying in a manger. And in verse 16, we see that they hurried to the village and they found Mary and Joseph. And there's this baby lying in an animal's feed trough. And Joseph's like, who are you guys? What are you doing here? I mean, I love this little nativity scene here. It looks awesome with the wise men and stuff like that. But the shepherd shows up, and, you know, Joseph's looking like totally good. But he's probably super confused. Why are these guys here? And everyone's amazed. But we see that Mary wasn't shocked. She's sitting there. She knows. She's listening. She's treasuring these things up in her heart because she knows that because of this baby boy, they're all equals before God. You don't need to be smart. Don't need to be talented. Don't need to be powerful because God uses a teenager and God uses a barn and God uses shepherds and God uses you. Jesus has come and uses the most unexpected things to do the unexpected and just to bring joy out of dark places. And well, at first the shepherds didn't believe it. When they went and saw for themselves and they investigated and tried it out, they realized this was true. And of all people, they understood what it means to be outcast, to feel lesser than. When the angels came and told them, of all people, they realized something was changing, that this was good news of great joy for everybody. So it is for us. Because if you're here today and you've ever felt lesser than, if you ever have felt like you don't measure up, oh, well, Pastor Nathan, he knows what he's talking about. He can preach. He can tell people about Jesus. He can bring Yarmouth to the Lord, you know, fantastic. I'm not like him. I couldn't do that. I'm not the same as him. If you've ever felt lesser than, like a screw up, like a nobody, welcome to church. This is what this is about. The whole point of Christianity is that we're a bunch of screw-ups and we need Jesus, right? That's the whole point. And yet somehow we get up to this idea that, wow, yeah, we're holier than thou and these things. But Jesus didn't come to those people. He purposely avoided those people. He went to the people that recognized their need of their lowliness and their inadequacy. And he comes to people like you and me. And he calls us from where we are, whether we feel we deserve it or not, sets us on equal ground. He takes away our heaviness and replaces it with joy. He removes our guilt and he gives us peace. You know, he takes away our debt of sin and pays for it with his own blood so we can walk free. I mean, that's why Jesus came. And the shepherds, they're stoked about this. They're just so excited to spread the news that God would use them, that God would come to them, that God would say, you're welcomed, you're accepted, you're an equal with everybody else. And they're so excited. We see this. Check it out. Verse 17. This is my favorite verse in this whole passage. Now, after seeing him, shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Verse 18, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Now, why would they be astonished? Why would they be shocked about an ordinary teenager having a baby in a barn? Well, it's because of who's telling them. The most average, the most ordinary, unexpected, imaginable messenger possible is bringing this hope and this life and this joy and this peace about a church and a people that's unlike anything you could possibly imagine. And that messenger today is an average tradesman. That messenger today is a full-time mom. That messenger today is a high school student. That messenger today is a senior citizen. You think, I can't do this, because God uses unexpected people in unexpected places to make this message of hope known to the lives of those who need this most. And I believe this Christmas that God's going to use the most unexpected messenger of all to change your family, to change your workplace, to change your marriage, to change everything from the inside out. I believe this Christmas that God is going to use you. An unexpected messenger of hope and of life and of joy to a hopeless world, a dark and dying world, to people who desperately need to know there's a God that loves them more than they expected. I never expected God could bring me joy out of sorrow. I never expected that God could bring me hope out of darkness. I never expected that God would bring life out of death. And I never expected that God would use a baby, that God would use a shepherd, that God would use you to be messengers of life to the world. I mean, the God I serve uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And who would ever have expected that God would use you? I want to invite the worship team to come this morning just to lead us in a song. And would you stand with me this morning as we just close out here today and reflect on this truth? We were all once outsiders. We were all once like the shepherds, weren't we? We all felt like we didn't belong, no relationship with God, no right standing with God's people. I couldn't come into the doors of the church. What if the building fell down on top of me? I'm here to tell you today that God wants to use you. All it takes is a willingness to respond to God's call. But I'm also here to tell you today that you don't need to do this alone. Just look to your left real quick. Look to your left. Look at the person on your left. Nobody's looking. Look at the person on your left. Look at the person on your right. Touch their shoulder, would you? Touch their shoulder. Touch the person on your right. Touch their shoulder. You're not in this alone. This is the church. But you're also not alone even when you are alone. I understand, Pastor, you've been talking about how we get to do things with God and not just for God. How many times have you been told you need to go evangelize, go do stuff for God? And yet here, the whole point of the Christmas story is, no, you don't need to do things for God, you get to do things with God. In Matthew's account, same story. Same story, the angel comes to Mary, tells, you're going to be pregnant with the Son of God. I can't imagine how she must have been feeling. I can't imagine the thoughts that would be running through her head. How terrified, how anxious. And then we read in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1, in the midst of her worry, when God calls her to such a large and scary test, who could ever do something? I don't feel good enough for that. Matthew 1:23, she says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she'll give birth to a son, and what are they going to call him? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Mary, I know you're scared. Mary, I know you're frightened. I know you feel small and ill-equipped, and you feel like the worst possible candidate for the mission that lies ahead. I know you never expected much of yourself, and you never expected that God would use you. But here's the truth I want you to remember, and you need to know in the middle of this very scary circumstances. You're not alone. Because the child you carry is Emmanuel, the living God come to dwell and be present and near among his people. He's with you in whatever you might face, in whomever he calls you to go to. This might not be going the way you expected. This might not be happening the way you planned, but I believe God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. God uses the unexpected to do the unexpected. And he sends his son as a reminder to you and I that God is with you through it all. He's your help. So if you're here this morning, you feel ill-equipped, you feel too shy, not smart enough, not strong enough, not brave enough to share this message of hope. If your family, if your coworkers, if your neighbors would look at you and agree and think, yeah, you're the most unexpected person of all to come with this message of hope and life, I got good news for you this morning. God uses unexpected messengers to make his message known. He's going to use you this Christmas. So this morning, as the team just leads us in worship for a moment, I just want us to just take a moment just to reflect on this, just to consider and remember what Jesus has done for us. Now, he's welcomed us in as outsiders into his family. And I want you to think also, who in your life do you know that's an outsider? Who's in your family circle that you're going to see in a couple weeks? Who's in your workplace that they'd say, I never belong in a church? Who's your neighborhood that doesn't know Jesus? Who's that person that feels like they don't belong? Because they don't need to measure up to anything. Jesus brings us all together on level ground when we accept him. And just like the shepherds went and told others what they had experienced in him, so you and I can go do the same. So as we worship this morning, would you consider, who's Jesus sending you to today? God, I thank you. You're among your people. God, I thank you. You'd call us out. God, I thank you that you'd use us, the most unexpected people, the most unexpected messengers. God, I never expected you'd do this for me. I never expected you'd call me out of darkness into life. I never expected you could use me. God, I always thought I was ill-equipped. I always thought I was lesser than, but that's not what I read in your word. God, would you send me to those people you've brought to my mind today? In Jesus' name, amen.